And while it's done with me to Second Corinthians, we're dealing with the problem of prejudice. That's our study tonight, and the study of Christian ethics. That is real with how we are supposed to live. This is where the rubber meets the road. The problem of prejudice. Noticing the doubt that the word prejudice means to prejudge someone, not on merit, but on something such as the color of skin. The prejudice actually comes from a Latin word, prejudice, which means previous greatness. That's what it has to do with seeing someone, looking at someone with dislike, someone long enough that you don't like them because maybe their skin color is different from yours, maybe their skin is an accent that you don't know. Unreasonable feelings, opinions, or attitudes, especially of a hostile nature regarding a racial, religious, or national group. So, unreasonable. Also, ready to say, an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. Or as Muhammad Ali says, hating people because of their color is wrong. It doesn't matter which color does to him, it's just plain wrong. Well, you notice also in your syllabus that many races have been prophets in history who misuse biblical passages to defend their hatred. And there was a number of passages that we used. In fact, there is a theology of prejudice that, if we have time tonight, I'll kind of quickly go over with you. They base it on basically three primary texts in the Bible. We'll take a few scriptures as time allows, but they start the mark of being the curse of Canaan, the curse of Noah. We'll look at those later. The Bible says, I think it's 19:19, that is written out right here in the syllabus, "You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle linger with the gatherer's kine. Thou shalt not sow thy field with the mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled with linen and woolen come upon thee." So the first passage is like this, and I say, see that means two different kinds should not be commingled. But actually, the Christian believer is attached to this. This passage, or any of the other passages in the report, doesn't say anything about doesn't forbid intermingling colors. It doesn't say that you bring a black towel with a brown towel, or a white towel with a brown towel. That's what they don't do that. It says you don't bring a towel with a horse. There you go. Just anything that often can be called a racist, but it speaks of not mixed in its beliefs. For example, don't be proud of horses, dogs, or cats, or cookies. God's not saying don't have a white child mixed in a brown child. Biblically, there is no problem with one human being integrating with another. Some of you claim there are hundreds of races of people, some say there's only one or two. Bottom line is, Acts 17:26, God is made of all nations and kindreds. We are all but a human variety. And so, there is no biblical prohibition against intermarriage of various races. There is no biblical prohibition. Those who exist, they are there is, are taking verses out of context. It's not wrong for races to intermarry. What the Bible condemns as wrong is for Christians to marry people outside of the faith. In 2 Corinthians 6, this is what God says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do you not unequally yoke together with unbelievers? It doesn't say that white man should marry a black woman, or vice versa, or an Asian should marry a black. So on so forth. What it says is believers are not to marry unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does one Christian have with unbelievers? It is no fellowship. What righteousness? What communion does one have with darkness? What concord does the Greek word for this Christian? What symphony is there between Christ and the devil? They're not playing the same note at all. There's no symphony there. There's no harmony there. It's gorgeous notes. What part can he that believes with an infidel? What part is a believer with an unbeliever? They're opposite. Right? What agreement does the people of God have with others? You are the people of the living God. God has said, I'll dwell in you, walk in you, I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among you and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the iniquity of the matter, receive you, I'll be a father unto you, and you be my son, and my brother, says the Lord. All kinds of things. So we call for separation. He's not talking here about separation by race, by color of skin, by dialect, by nationality. Are merely the propagators of hatred. For racism is just another word for hatred. And hatred is the mother of murder, and murder, and no murderer has eternal life. Abiding in him, as 1 John 3:16 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Prejudice, the child of ignorance, and his mother, the mother of murder. It ought not to be. according to the Bible, it's an evil, and it's one that every Christian has to guard their heart against. Every Christian. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? This commandment is from him, but he that loveth God loves his brother also. Not only is it Christian to love his brother, but we're called to love our enemies as well. That's what we're going to do. It's not one of them. And so if you love your enemies, if you love your enemies, one of the greatest examples of the word Christian, greater than a piece of word, more powerful, is paid off quicker. Who rose to power on a platform of people who were confused. He blamed all the problems of Germany on the Jews. I heard that. I don't know. Get that? I don't think that he was called to Jews himself. I don't know. But I have heard that. I got a soldier from the office, and listen to this. He said, if I can see the flower of the German nation into the hell of war without the smallest pity for the shedding of precious German blood, then surely I have the right to remove millions of an inferior race that bleeds like garbage. I can kill my own people. So I can have the power of my soul and the soul of the world. So what is God's attitude towards prejudice and segregation? Alright, let's go on the server. Number one, the Old Testament taught changes teachers on segregation. But segregation of the Jews from the Gentiles. Not on the basis of race, but on the basis of religion. God did not want the Jews to become polluted with the idolatry of the Gentile nation. Remember? New Testament taught it, Old Testament taught it, God prohibited Israel from hanging out with the Canaanites and so forth because they were corrupting with their idolatrous immoral practices. God did not want the Jews to become polluted with the idolatry of the Gentile nation. He gave to the Jews, and to the Jews alone, the revelation of a divine nature. They were not permitted to mingle or marry Gentiles. They were allowed to have commerce or trade with them, obviously to a point, but I cited here Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 4. Let's see why God insisted that they segregate themselves from the Gentile nations. And the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, And then the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee. Thou shalt smite them, and other ones destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall thou not give to his son, or his daughter shall I take unto thy son. Why? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee, destroy thee suddenly. This is repeated over and over in the Bible. We see it in Exodus 34, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 17. We see in Numbers. If Israel intermingles with the Canaanite nation, they will be absorbed by it, and they will cease to exist as a separate nation. Let's get back to that before we go. Actually, a widow that God sent Elijah to. And so That's what the word is. It's a foretaste. And they were definitely a God-fearing people. Jeremiah 14, and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? The truth is, the Ethiopians are a God-fearing people. Moses married a God-fearing Ethiopian woman. Why would he have married a woman of sin? Because the Bible prohibits intermarriage with the heathen nation. So why wouldn't he have married a Semitic woman? You know, like Zipporah, who was a Midianite, and they prohibited from her husband as well. He married Zipporah, his first wife, who either died or he took a second wife, mostly because she died somewhere else along the way. Well, I'll tell you what, look at you over the Exodus 12. Let me show you a bit of scripture over here. Here's what most scholars, well, let's say, Jewish conservative scholars here, pertaining Moses' Ethiopian wife. Exodus 12, and verse 30. Exodus 12 is all about the Exodus. They're coming out of Egypt. Israel is coming out of Egypt. God has judged Egypt with all the plagues. The Exodus begins. Here's the group that's coming out of Egypt. I want you to notice verse 38. Here's what the Bible says. Not only did Israel come out of Egypt, but a mixed multitude went up also with them in flocks and herds and very much cows. Because Egypt didn't just have Jewish slaves, it was also people from all over that they were holding to. And when Israel got set free, a mixed multitude of slaves went out with them. Many believe that Moses, the woman he was married, was among the people of God. This was people from all over, people from different races, but obviously he was a follower of the God of Israel, a believer in the God of Israel. And Miriam and Aaron better not go stir up trouble and move into the top of your father. So God did not forgive interracial marriage, but he forgives the believer and Aaron and the there are some who believe that this reference to Moses marrying Sisera is actually just another reference to Zipporah, that Zipporah and Sisera are never one of the same. Those who hold us here in a strong chronology, those who have Jewish authorities, the Jewish historians, and so forth, are of the persuasion that the Bible means what it says, most likely to wipe out Moses. He goes for us, Acts 17:26, God is Lord of all nations. All nations, of all blood. Acts 17:26, he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all nations. He's made of one blood all nations. Doesn't matter what color your skin is, color your beauty, every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And we will think our God to be the church of the God of children of every group, every nationality, every corner of the world, every color of skin. So, God's plan, that would be a people to be able to be cancer. God would have to be able to be productive cells and find that it's going to be also. Who would say about that? Opens her mouth and sees her brother's blood from him. So there's a curse put upon her. If the people need to be cursed, verse 12. When you till the ground, with your mouth henceforth yield unto thee a curse. And remember, Cain was a tiller of the ground. That was the difference between him and his brother. His brother tended sheep or cattle, he tended the ground. He offered the fruit of the ground to the Lord. The Lord then received it and received Abel's offering, the offering of blood. Which, remember? So what he did, what he loved, God said, now I curse your work in the ground. It's not going to produce harvest anymore. And you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Now, a person who farms is not a vagabond. Because you have to work that soil. You won't lose your purse. And the soil that you want to work and once yield to the spring, and you want to you will not know that it's going to lose you as a bond of the earth. So, King says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He's driven me out of this place and the place of the earth. And from that day, tells me, here, I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. It'll come to pass that everyone that finds me will kill me. The Lord says, therefore, to put this mark upon him so that nobody would kill. So the sign of the mark was actually to protect. There was a curse. The curse was not dark skin. The curse was the ground's not going to produce for you anymore. The curse was now you're a vagabond and a fugitive on earth. And the mark was actually to protect him wherever it was. The mark was for a tattoo, something God gave him, a big dog to protect him. Somebody had a horrible disease like leprosy, so nobody would go near him. You know, he was so hideous to look at and so on. The bottom line is this: we don't know what the mark was. And all we need to do is speculate and know what that means.
Oh, What I noticed is that he was punished by God. And if someone would have killed him, they would have been punished. But God mocked him and said, look, you know, I got the same thing. I got someone in jail.
Number of my friends told me that their church was like 7,000.
hope it's not because we won the name of all. It's an interesting question on dealing with the use of people trying to become violent. Also, a future reason for us to question is why it was not formed for us. Why was it punished? And it was formed for a fourth time. And why was it only formed? And so, there is a lot of discussion that you can have in the Bible college. The Bible doesn't say this. Cain perhaps took part in that. Here's what some believe, that when Cain saw the father's mission, instead of doing what he could, like his brother did, to cover up his father's sin, he kind of moved on. He said to his brother, and perhaps Cain, in some way, I would also mention that this curse was spoken by Noah. It wasn't necessarily divine decree on the law. And I do believe it had a specific element to it, but it did not. It wasn't what you would call an onslaught of death. Why didn't Noah curse him? Because in Genesis 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons. And you can curse a vow of blessing. So, there is some who that the children can get on the useful of a talent. Let's say a talent is, let's say a talent is a gift. Just a brilliant, dirty, foul mouth. Children pick that up. They become what their father is. So it could be that Cain took on this particular characteristic of who he was, instead of covering his father's nakedness, further exposed it, you know, by heralding it abroad. And then we go back to speculation, we don't know. What we do know is that it wasn't enough. How popular did that happen? That's that. Father, we pray. You deliver us all, each and every one. And please tell us prejudice in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. Deliver us, Lord, and set us free, no matter what our upbringing was, no matter what our indoctrination has been. Break every bit of this yoke of people, of bondage, we pray. Deliver us from its entirety, Lord Jesus, so that truly we can love one another as brothers or sisters. Remember, every nation and race and tongue, so we will stand beside, side by side, for our eternity, in your presence.